Good morning. Yeah, so the next couple services or sermons, really God gave me two different pictures of what these are going to be. And so one is a verbal picture and one is an artistic picture. And so I'll start with the artistic. So if you know anything about contemporary art, right, often artists will just throw paint on a canvas and it looks potentially like it's messy. And yet, the reality is anybody who looks at that, they can interpret what do they see in that picture. And what God ultimately said, he says, just talk about it. So we're going to come at these this week and next week for sure, just these topics from different angles. We're just going to talk about it. And really, the same question that is true and has been true for over a year now, that I feel like God wants you to look at is, what do you really believe? What do you really believe? Not what I'm telling you to believe, because I'm not going to tell you what to believe. What do you really believe about this topic? And so the topic is sort of exploring this issue of the big picture versus the details. And so the truth is that God really cares about the big picture. Would you agree?
Yes.
Right? But he also cares about the details.
Yes.
Right? So let me give you two examples quick. So Jesus' birth, the big picture. Jesus was born. Yay! Does God care about that? Yeah, God cares about that. How about the details? So you got Mary was a virgin, Joseph was suspicious, Elizabeth and Zechariah, no room at the inn. There's a manger, some farm animals, some shepherds, angels, magi, gifts. How many lives were touched in the details? A lot of people were touched in the details. If all we had was the big picture, would we miss something? I think so. Let's look at another. Saul's transformation. Remember Saul? Big picture. Saul became a follower of Jesus. All right! Details. Stephen died, rode to Damascus, knocked off his horse, blinded, led into Damascus. Ananias, healing, baptism, preaches the gospel. How many lives were touched by Saul? Paul. Details. Let's look at another angle. 2 Chronicles 9. If you have your Bible, you can open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. The big picture, King Solomon is really wise. He's really wise. The details start in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 9. It says, now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions, having a very great retinue and camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from Solomon that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and their clothing, his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. Did she die? No. And she said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, half the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You surpassed the report that I heard. Happy are your wives. Happy are these your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on his throne as king for the Lord your God. Because your God loved Israel and would establish them forever. He has made you king over them that you may execute justice and righteousness. So what are the details? Solomon answers all the Queen of Sheba's questions. He explains every single thing that she asks. And the Queen of Sheba sees the wisdom of Solomon in what? The house that he built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, their clothing, right? That's interesting. His burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, and she's left breathless. The evidence of Solomon's wisdom was found in the details. The spirit of wisdom is manifest in the details. Another picture, Acts chapter 6. Big picture, the neglected widows are well cared for. It's a good day. The details start in verse 1. It says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them." So what are the details? In order to meet the need of the Hellenistic widows, Hellenistic Jewish widows, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, they were appointed and they were anointed. And they chose these men, Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus. The Hellenistic widows really mattered to God. See, it wasn't enough just to give them equal portions. Was the issue just justice? Was it just about justice that the Jewish widows would get the same amount as the Hellenistic Jewish widows? At some level, you could say, yeah, it's just justice. But how God deals with the issue that's found in the details, I don't think it was enough just to give them equal portions. The characteristics that mark the who and how they would receive those equal portions, how they would be cared for, was on God's heart. It really mattered how it happened. In all of these examples, they have the benefit of sort of looking in the past, right? You can see the big picture. You can see all the details. You see the beginning of the story, and you see the end of the story, right? God has intricate involvement with each main character, but it's obvious that he cares about every single person that's involved in the details. Let me give you a modern-day example. I just heard this testimony yesterday. It's really fun. So at one of the healing rooms in British Columbia on Vancouver Island, a woman came in, I don't know when, but not that long ago. She had ovarian cancer, and she was having surgery the next day. She went to the healing rooms. When the team that was there prayed for her, they noticed physically in her body, in the region where this ovarian cancer was, there was movement or a shifting in her stomach region or that area of her body. The woman felt something, but there was nothing else that she could attest to, but she felt like, I think I'm healed. The next day, she goes to have the surgery. They put her under, the doctors take her in, she goes in for the surgery. When she gets woken up after the anesthesia, the surgeon comes to her and says, "Why didn't you tell me you already had the surgery?" He goes on to say, she said, "I didn't already have the surgery. I received prayer yesterday at the healing rooms." And the surgeon says, "Well, not only was the tumor gone, but the ovary that had the tumor on it was gone as well. Completely gone." So the big picture, we could say, a woman who had ovarian cancer is healed. Yay, praise God. But look at the details. It wasn't just her. It was the people at the healing rooms that had the opportunity to pray for her. It was the surgeon and everybody who was in the medical clinic that had the experience of hearing a miracle. Right? There's so much more involved. Why did God not just heal her? Was he trying to get other people's attention on the journey? Is there something bigger that he's after than just a woman getting healed of ovarian cancer? Right? I don't want to try to understand it all, but what I'm learning is there's something significant about the details in addition to just the big picture. Right? So God walks with us, right? Life's a journey. I think everybody would agree with that. And can you believe that God is in the details, though, when you don't know the end of the story? Because when you know the end of the story, you can see how all the details work together, right? When you're in it, sometimes it's really hard to see. So I'm going to give you an example from a couple weeks ago. So some of you know we have a ministry here called Freedom Dispensers, and we go twice a month. We get together, seek the Lord. We listen to him. We say, God, is there anybody that you would send us to? Would you give us a clue? Someone in Sonoma County that you would want us to go to? And we've prayed for people that we know. We pray for strangers. We go to interesting locations. We pray for regions, all sorts of stuff, right? On this past Wednesday, a couple Wednesdays ago, as I was praying and seeking the Lord, God, where would you have us go? I heard an address, 464 Tabitha Court. And I felt like it was connected to eyes being opened, either both physical or spiritual revelation. That was the sense I had in my spirit, as best as I could hear. When I type in that address in my phone, it pops up 464 Tabitha Court, Cottonwood, United States, or California, Cottonwood, California. Right? I'm like, okay. But the one thing that was missing was 464. You know how they strike it out? So then I said, okay, God, well, let me just type in Tabitha Santa Rosa. And what pops up is the name of a doctor, Dr. Tabitha. I won't share her last name. And with an address on 4th Street. So now I have to sit there and I'm pressing into the Holy Spirit. God, did I just mishear you? Am I just making something up? Am I on a goose chase trying to figure this out? I got this place in Cottonwood, and then I have a physical address of a doctor that I don't know. And I felt like as I prayed about it, I felt the Holy Spirit said, write her a note of encouragement. So I asked the Holy Spirit, what would you say to her? He gave me a whole download of what to say to this doctor. I typed it up before the team got there, and I had it ready to go, and we were going to go to this office. When we get together, we worship. We start by worshiping. So everybody's already prayed, we've already listened, but then we worship just to see, because sometimes the Holy Spirit, he's got some bonus stuff, right? Some add-ons. And so as we prayed, he brought to my mind, as we were worshiping, he brought to my mind Steve Chain, who many of you know. He's actually going to be here with Leslie March 23rd. They'll be preaching. But so Steve Chain, and I thought, he came across my mind's eye. Steve Chain lives in Cottonwood. Steve Chain is the kind of guy who might just go by a neighborhood that just to release an anointing and see what God might do. And so I had this sense from the Holy Spirit, invite Steve into this process. So I text him while we're worshiping, and I just invite him. I say, hey, I got this notice of Tabitha. It popped up on my phone, Cottonwood. Would you go by that neighborhood and just see? And if you don't see a person or whatever, can you just release anointing into the land, right, into that region for blind eyes being opened and revelation happening, et cetera? All right, so we finish worshiping. We finish praying. There's multiple places that we're going to be going to, and so, but we stop at this doctor's office on 4th Street. I'm expecting a normal doctor's office where there's a receptionist and all that kind of thing, but that's not what we found. We found an open building with offices that were closed, a beautiful place for care. It's primarily for spiritual care or some kind of, I don't know, Leonard, what was it? What would you call that? It was like a wellness care. Right, so maybe some counseling, that kind of stuff. You had doctors' names on all the doors, but the doctor that I had, her name wasn't there. So there's no receptionist. We can't just leave it with somebody. We can't ask a question. So we sort of just prayed and waited, thinking somebody might come out at one of the doors. It felt awkward to knock on a door because they might be in a session, right? And so we just sort of sat. Like, okay, God, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And so when we got back to the car, I had this sense that I should try to call her. All right, so I held that. We went to do a couple other clues, places that we were going to. We actually had amazing encounters that day, really powerful, with actual people. And the other thing that happened is I got a text back from Steve Chain that he was on his way right then. So he was dropping what he was doing. He's driving to Tabitha Court in Cottonwood, and he would let me know what happens. After we had finished all of our assignments, we got back to the office. I got back to the office. I get a text back from Steve that he went to that neighborhood that All of the houses were like, they had big gates and guard dogs. And there was nobody that he could talk to, but that he released the word that I had given him to release into the land and over the houses on this court, right? And so he's like, I did what I was supposed to do. I called Dr. Tabitha, and I left her a message, a little bit awkward, trying to explain what we were doing, right? And I figured if she is bold enough to call back, we'll know, right? Whatever, right? If she wants it. I basically told her, God gave me this word for you. If you would like to hear it, please give me a call. On my way home, I got a call from Dr. Tabitha. And she said, hey, I got your message. I am interested in hearing the word. And I was able to share the word of God with her, that he had this word of encouragement for her. And she was very grateful to get the word. It was powerful. The next day, I was still pressing into this, and I felt like the Lord said, send her the letter. And so I sent her the letter so she could have a physical copy of the word to go with this phone conversation. And ultimately, now I have a doctor that received a word from God, an encouraging word from God, and I have a neighborhood in Cottonwood, California that's received some anointed prayer from Steve Chain as a result of this process. Where's it all going to go? I don't know. Is Dr. Tabitha going to become a Christian? I don't know. Is the neighborhood in Cottonwood going to be wrecked because Steve released a mighty powerful prayer? Right? See, the temptation for me when I hear a directive from the Holy Spirit that seems like it's not developing or in an obvious way, or that my temptation is to believe that I misheard it somehow. Somehow I was off, right? And that's possible, right? I don't hear perfectly. Does anybody hear perfectly? Okay, so we all agree with that, right? And I'm growing. So again, and it's not negative self-talk. Some people, they go too far the other extreme, like, oh, you're just false humility. No, I'm over that. The reality is all of us are growing. All of us are learning how to hear. We were created to hear the voice of the Lord, and we hear it well, but we're still growing. But I'm learning that sometimes God likes to see what I will do or how I will handle apparent obstacles with what I hear. Do I actually press in for more, or do I just turn away and say, I think I missed it? And even if I miss it, can God work with it? Like, say I misheard Tabitha Court. I just was whatever I had for breakfast, which was a cup of coffee, right? So say I had bad coffee, and I heard Tabitha Court, and I end up sending a note of encouragement to the doctor. Can God work with that in her life? Is that possible? Or I send Steve Chain on a wild goose chase into a neighborhood that he's never gone to before in Cottonwood, California, right? Could God use it in Steve's life? Could he use it in the life of the people who are residents in that neighborhood? It's possible, right? Is it any less significant when God touches or blesses what I am doing versus when he initiates it? How big is your God? How big is your faith? But what if I didn't miss it? Could God actually be working in all the lives of these individuals in a greater way than we could ever dream or imagine? And one day, whether it's here on earth or when it's when we get to heaven, we're going to realize the lives that were touched as a result of this. Right? We just don't know. It's different than reading the scripture where we have the end of the story and we can look back and we see how all the details work together. Or with the example of the woman with ovarian cancer, right? We can look back and we see how all these pieces were interconnected. When you're in it, sometimes it's tricky to really feel or to see that God is in all the details and that he really cares about it. Another angle is when you're working on a project or an assignment from God, or you're simply trying to get something done and there's delays, how do you view it? I think some of us, we are quick to go to the spiritual attack front. In anything that happens in our lives that's frustrating or annoying, especially if we feel like we're on a directive from God, right? Well, it's obviously it's the enemy. The enemy is just messing with me. He's messing with the situation, right? Others of us, we go to the character building phase, right? Something's frustrating. It's like God wants to grow my character. He obviously is trying to teach me patience. He's trying to teach me how to overcome obstacles, how to not give up hope, that kind of stuff. But could God also be amassing or involving other individuals that he wants in on the story? Could the apparent sort of obstacles be that God's actually working in the lives of other people to get them lined up in the right spot for when it all comes together? Or that maybe you need to interact with other individuals on the way because you have obstacles? And maybe God has something for those individuals? Maybe those individuals actually matter to God? Like the person on the phone call that you're trying to get to this person over here and you have to go through three people to get to that people? Is it possible that God actually cares about the three people that you have to go through to get to the one person that you think he really cares about? Or that has the answers for your question? What do you believe? Are they involved on purpose or simply by coincidence? Is there something that God is doing or releasing to them through you to impact their future, their lives? Again, what do you have faith for? One truth that I know from my own life is that our frustration level hinders our love level. Let me say what I mean by that. If you're in a process and you become frustrated, that God, you're in a process God has you and you become frustrated, my tendency is I take my eyes off God. I start focusing on myself and how I'm personally being affected at what's not happening in a timely manner. But if I keep my eyes on God and trust what he's doing in the process, even if I don't understand it, even if it doesn't make sense or I can't see how it all fits together, we can both see the other individuals involved in the process and we can sense how to be an ambassador of love, peace, hope, joy, etc. in their lives. I actually have eyes to see those people because I'm looking at them through God versus just looking at myself and being like, why is this taking so long? Why do I have to go through this? The truth is God cares about the big picture. And God cares about you. Very much so. If you hear my voice right now, I can assure you God cares about you. You may not believe it. It's okay. I believe it. God cares about you. He never stops caring about you. Your good day, your bad day, your hard day, your ugly day, he never stops caring about you. But God also cares about the details. The details really matter to God. And God is in the process, the whole process from very beginning, even before you even knew about it, he knew about it. All the way to where it's finished or completed, right? And he's working in the lives of everybody who's involved in the process. It's the kind of God he is. Often God lets you play a significant part in the lives of those you intersect with. He loves to let you play in the lives of people. Often we think life is so serious, and yet we worship a God who laughs. I think God actually loves us having the opportunity to intersect with people in our spheres of influence. And he will create environments where we get to interact with more people by throwing in a few roadblocks here and there. And it might be the enemy. It might be character building. Don't get me wrong, right? All those things are still true. But sometimes I think the Lord just wants to see, how will you respond? He wants to see, will you keep playing the game Will you keep going? Will you love a doctor who you do not know the way I love her? Will you love a neighborhood whom you've never been to, probably never will go to, like I love that neighborhood? Right? We're just throwing paint on the board. You get to decide what you really believe this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for this topic of you caring about the big picture, but you also caring about the details and the different examples from Scripture, the different examples from life, our modern and current life, when we know the end of the story and when we don't. And the things that that raises up for us as individuals who are walking with you. And I pray, Jesus, that you would give each person here eyes to see more of what you're doing in their lives. Maybe they're in a situation or a circumstance right now where it doesn't make sense. They're in the middle of it. They're at the place of frustration. They don't know what to do. They don't know why this is going on or all the specific aspects of it. Would you give them eyes to see you? And we would stay locked on you. And we would take our eyes off of ourselves and how this situation is affecting us. And we would lock it on you, knowing full well that you actually really care about me or about us. You never stop. So even when I'm in a tricky predicament, even when I'm in a frustrating situation, I know I'm with God, Emmanuel, the God with us, right there. He cares about me, and he cares about what's going on more than I could ever care about it. And so would you give us a grace to keep our eyes on you, the one who cares? Yeah. And would you give us grace to trust you with all of the specific details? Roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, or when it doesn't seem to make sense, right? That we would trust you. God, what are you doing? How are you moving? What's the next piece of the puzzle that you're going to give to me? And would you give us a willingness to lean in? Just to get real close with you, that we would be able to hear your whispers, the subtleties of the Holy Spirit guiding us, preparing us for the next adventure that you have in store for us, honing in our ability to hear you so clearly, even that still small voice, and increasing our boldness to take risks for the kingdom, even when it doesn't seem like it's making sense. And then lastly, Lord, I pray that you would give us joy on the journey. Every single one of us is on a journey with you. Even those who don't have a relationship with you yet, they're on a journey. And I praise you for their journey. I praise you for our journeys. And I ask that you would increase our joy, that we would have childlike play, childlike awe and wonder, childlike faith as we walk with you. So we listen to you, as we enjoy your company and you enjoy us, you would increase our joy, and it would actually be our strength in the midst of the journey to continue pressing on and moving forward. And we just ask that you would seal what you've done here this morning. As individuals look at the portrait that you've created, as we've listened to the words, as we've sort of talked about this topic, Lord, would you let the things that are meant to touch each individual person, would it rise to sort of the top that they would be able to see, that's the thing I'm supposed to be looking at from this message. And the rest would just sort of fall by the wayside. They wouldn't have to worry about that. But you're a God who speaks, you're a God who's with us, and you're a God who's for us. And so I pray that you would minister to us in a powerful and significant way today and this week as we feast on your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen.